Today is the second day of Advent, a time when Christians prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Today we continue and prepare with prepared thoughts of peace. As we light the second candle on our Advent wreath, we look to the prophet Isaac and Isaiah and God's promise of peace.
You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you.
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishments that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed.
All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace.
How beautiful on mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim Savior, salvation.
Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. Think about this peace as you prepare for Christmas.
Today's Old Testament lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 20, verse 1 through 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged plains a place a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed for all people who see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning's New Testament reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Which of these images astonish you? Take a look at these four pictures. Which ones astonish you? Watch. The word astonish is one of the words that is a synonym for the word wonder. Another synonym is marvelous. And indeed, each of those images reflects something that is wonder-filled, marvelous. The human heart, the human eyeball, lightning, yes, even a lamb jumping. You see, the whole world is filled with wonder. That's how God created it. Humans try to decide that certain wonders are better than others. It was Herodotus, in about 400 years before Jesus, who first started creating the lists that we well have heard about, the seven wonders of the world. In his day, 400 years before Jesus, he listed the Great Pyramid of Giza. He also listed the Colossus of Rhodes, the Lighthouse of Alexandria, and four other great accomplishments of people. Only now, the Pyramid of Giza still stands. But since then, other lists have been made, and some say there's seven wonders, some say there's 12. But the truth is, the world is filled with the wonders of God. That's what Psalm 65 said. And I think Albert Einstein might have been thinking of that when he wrote, either everything is a miracle or nothing is a miracle. What wonders stir your soul? What wonders resonate deep within that when you see them, you have that sense of awe, marvel, astonishment? Many years ago, I took a renewal leave and I went to Arizona. And there I spent 2 weeks in the high desert not far from the Grand Canyon. Each day, I would leave my residence, my motel, and I would go out and just wander, walk, think, pray, read. One day, I was sitting on a rock, a large boulder, when I noticed that at my feet, just at the edge of the rock, near where the sand came up, were lots and lots of ants. This colony of ants was doing what they are supposed to do. Ants spend almost all their day going and getting food for the colony. So I decided to look more closely. I rolled over, laid on my stomach, and inched my way down this rock until my head was about 18 inches from the ground. And I stayed in that position for about an hour, watching and studying the ants. I have never done that before. But I came to a new appreciation of the wonder of creation, the miracle of the social structure of an ant colony. There are wonders all around us, tiny as ants, tiny as water bears, and yet all amazing creations of God. But our sense of wonder has been lost. Perhaps a sad function of growing up and growing older. Many of us have lost that sense of wonder. Oh, once we were like this little boy. Once we were like this little girl. But somewhere along the line, our capacity for wonder faded, disappeared. Maybe because we've come to think we've seen it all, we know it all. Maybe because we've figured things out. And once we figure them out, they lose their mystique and their mystery. It seems like we've taken the onion and peeled off all the layers until there's sometimes nothing left. We've dissected life and the world and have answers, sometimes scientific answers for what is. And in so describing and seeing it, it's lost its wonder. There are other things that cause us to lose this sense of wonder. Thieves, I would call them. Things that rob us of the awe and wonder that we ought to have at the wonderful things around us. When things become routine, their wonder fades. When you look at a full moon, you have seen it before, it becomes somewhat routine. I remember how at the start of the US space program, many years ago, folks were so enthralled at the incredible wonder of what humankind had been able to do. And people would flock to their televisions and front headlines, lead articles, announce the great accomplishments of the space program, and we were all enthralled in wonder at what was happening. I remember I was in Florida once when a space shuttle launch was going to happen, and I got up at about 3 a.m. I drove 2 or 3 hours to Cape Canaveral and there watched in person a shuttle go up. But now, even though the amazing space program continues to expand, mostly it's back page news, and we pay little attention, routine robs us of a sense of wonder. Fear also robs our wonder. When we are anxious or afraid, we are focused on those things which make us or we let cause anger and fear, and we don't see other things. And scientists actually tell us that when we are afraid or anxious, our vision changes. Our visual perspective changes, so we are unable to see things as clearly, and we focus strictly on what makes us afraid. And all the other things, the wonderful other things, are fuzzy and blurry. And maybe just busyness robs us of wonder. You know your life, and I know mine. Every day there is something to be done. The to-do lists seem never to end. The demands of family and work, the needs of others, the routines of life. And so how many of us can find time in that schedule to look at the wonders of this world? And yet here we are. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. Wonderful. And yet, right now, some of us are having trouble not only getting in the spirit, but seeing how we can truly celebrate Christmas in this hard time. But the wonderfulness of Christmas began with a wonderful moment with Mary. The angel Gabriel came to her with this great announcement. She had no idea what would happen, but there was this angel telling her that she would be God's servant, that she would be the one to bear God's son. She was confused at first, but then said, "Let it be to me, for I will be God's servant." And then, in the unfolding story of Mary having received this news, in the next chapter of Luke is the great Magnificat, a long poem praising God, and we get this sense that Mary is in awe, in wonder at what is happening within her. Thus begins a series of wonder-filled moments leading to Bethlehem. And yet Mary received this news in the midst of a dark time. Life in Palestine for Mary and others was very precarious. Poverty was rampant, and Mary and Joseph were poor, meaning they did not know where their next meal would come from. The dangers were many. As they traveled, they were under the danger of thieves and robbers who commonly accosted others. Disease was everywhere, and there was no medicine. And the average life expectancy between 40 and 50, many much earlier, and infant mortality was at a skyrocketing number compared to what we think. All these things created a dark and shadowy time for Mary. And yet she was in awe and wonder at how God was going to come into this world through her. Wonder amidst darkness might describe her moments. Our moments would be described by Christmas amidst COVID. And indeed, our COVID Christmas is going to be challenging. Many will find Christmas coming and the routines of the past be gone. There will be darkness of a different kind, shadows still, people not present, routines different, people alone, disengaged, disconnected. Christmas will be hard and dark for some compared to what you hope. And so it will be for most of us. And some anxiety and fear also then that the day after Christmas we face the continuing uncertainty of COVID and what a new year will bring. But I challenge us all to embrace this wonder of Christmas, even in the darkness. It is a discipline, it is a mental and spiritual discipline to be able to do that. And I challenge you to embrace it. To embrace wonder, even in the midst of COVID and other darknesses, which you may be facing in all the other dimensions of life as well. Ways to do that? Re-examine your Christmas priorities. Cookies and food make for a lovely Christmas, but they do not define the Christmas experience. Decorations, all the things that we like to do to make our homes more beautiful, they are lovely. They do not define Christmas. Being together with others is a wonderful, lovely thing. But that does not define Christmas. Re-examine your priorities this Christmas and focus on the manger first. Another way to embrace wonder is to refocus on the purpose of Christmas. Remember, Christmas is not your birthday. Christmas is not your birthday. And gifts given to one and another and to be received are lovely. But that is not the purpose of Christmas. Jesus arrived by God's design to bring God's love into this world and to show us the way and the truth and the life. That's the purpose of Christmas. Remember that purpose. And remember God's plan, God's larger plan that the Bethlehem manger began. That plan to reveal to us God's long-term purposes for all of us, to have a relationship with Him, to learn how to live the abundant, joyful life that God intends for all of us, and to live a kind of life that is filled with joy of service and kindness and compassion to others. Yes, the Bethlehem light came into the dark world so that we could see that if we follow that light, we then will help chase that darkness away. And that's what the church calls us all to do in serving one another. Remember God's plan. There was a day when Christmas unfolded in this particular family. All the preparations were made, as you could imagine. And then Christmas Eve came, and this family with three little children had a nice dinner, went to a Christmas Eve service, and then went home. And the children were reminded of the rule that in the morning, no one went downstairs until everyone was awake. And so the kids went to bed, and you know the routine. Mom and Dad brought out lots of gifts and put them under the tree and around the tree. And one particular gift was the bike that the oldest child had been hoping for such a long time. They rolled this bike out and put a red ribbon on the seat and put it near the tree. And finally, Mom and Dad went to bed. At 4:30 in the morning, a noise was heard in the hallway and a pounding on Mom and Dad's bedroom door. They looked at each other and were slightly perturbed that sleep was over. But after all, it was Christmas morning. The excited oldest child was at the door. They called him to come in. And he jumped on the bed and said, "Mom and Dad, I've seen it, I've seen it." And now further perturbed, they thought, "He's already gone downstairs. He's broken the rule." But what could they do? It was Christmas. "I've seen it," he kept saying. "I've seen it. Come on, let's go." And with that, they wiped the sleep from their eyes, walked down the hall, and awoken the other two children. Now all more and more excited because this oldest child was leading them all. "Come on, I've seen it. I've seen it. Come on." And he walked down the stairs as they followed. He led them into the living room where the Christmas tree and all the gifts were beautifully arrayed. But he walked right past the tree, past the bike. "Come on, come on," he said, "I've seen it." And now they wondered. They got to the kitchen and he took them to the large glass slider. And he said, "Look, look, I've seen the star of Bethlehem." As he pointed to a bright star in the early morning darkness. Such wonder. Such wonder does not have to be lost in childhood, but can be reclaimed as we refocus and remember and reprioritize. Such wonder as Christmas. I invite you to let go of the bike and to embrace the star. Let's pray. Lord God, long ago when you came into this world through this baby Jesus, you revealed to us your plan and purpose. And here we are, God, these 2,000 years later, seeking to celebrate Christmas in a way that embraces the wonder of its truth. Lord, help us and strengthen us in these days to come to set aside the anxiety and worry, the darkness and shadows that are around us, and you know they are. And remind us, God, that if we will but focus on the manger in Bethlehem and all that it means, that the light of Bethlehem and the star of wonder will actually cast out that darkness. So help us to remember and to refocus and reprioritize each day. Help us to keep our eyes on the star of wonder. These things we pray because of Jesus. Amen.